It's time for What's Up with Steve Abel from the Green Party.
Need to turn my mic on. Morena, Steve Abel.
Morena, how are you?
Yeah, good. Now, this morning we've actually got a few topics to make our way through. Quite a few green stories actually in the last week or so. Do we want to start with changes to the Wildlife Act this morning?
Sure, yeah. We had a pretty hectic week last week where they went under urgency and put through some reckless things, including the pay equity stuff. But
yes,
on the same day, they created this new permission in the Wildlife Act, which allows developers to kill wildlife.
Yes, I saw a headline on social media about being able to kill kiwi, in fact.
Yeah, basically, and the rest, and all those rare and endangered and unique indigenous wildlife that we have in this country that the Wildlife Act was set up in 1953 to protect. The thing is that when a road is built, there's likely to be some incidental or unintended killing, but you shouldn't be, as the High Court found when the Environment Law Initiative brought the case, shouldn't get a permission to kill things ahead of time. You should take all reasonable steps to avoid from killing things.
Yes.
And if something incidentally dies, it will be at the discretion of the Department of Conservation whether you're prosecuted for that. But, you know, highly improbable that they would prosecute a genuine actor who had done everything they could to protect kiwi. Say they moved 10 kiwi and one of them died in the process. Doc's not going to go and prosecute that person for doing that. So it's sort of like imagining in the workforce safety space that you would give people in dangerous industries and, you know, corporations some sort of license or authority to accidentally kill people. That would be preposterous. You have, you know, strict work-safe laws where a company has to take every step to protect its workers. It's the same principle in the Wildlife Act. No one can be given a legal right to kill native animals.
Yes. I mean, how do you think this change will affect the long-term survival of vulnerable or at-risk species in areas of development?
I think what it means is it just becomes easier for developers who are reckless to disregard the welfare of the animals. If they've already got a license to kill ahead of time, they don't need to take the special effort. I would hope that, you know, a number of people wouldn't be that warranted, but it is consistent with the government's kind of war on nature rhetoric, and certainly Shane Jones was in the room at the time we debated it, and we remember him very well saying bye-bye Freddy if there's a rare endangered frog in the way of a mining operation, let it go extinct. And so this legislation specifically facilitates that mindset. It says we're going to change the Wildlife Act set up to protect animals and permit the killing of animals so that we can facilitate more mining.
What alternative approach would the Green Party propose? Obviously, because there are areas like renewable energy projects that we need to get underway. How would you uphold strong protections for native wildlife?
Well, if you get a consent to build a renewable energy project, it doesn't give you a license to kill wildlife. You still have to do everything to protect the wildlife. And if you work with the Department of Conservation to, you know, come up with strategies that are going to minimise impact on wildlife, the Department of Conservation isn't going to then convict you if there's an accidental killing.
Yes.
So you don't actually need to do anything. The court just found that the authorities that DOC had been issuing historically were unlawful.
Mm.
That was sort of a, you know, DOC being corrected. They didn't need to change the law to make it lawful to kill wildlife.
Yeah. Wow. I guess we need to really watch this space. Now, Steve Abel, on to... is this your bill, which has been drawn out of the tin, the Animal Products Closing the Welfare Gap Amendment Bill? Can you explain to us what this is?
Sure, yeah. Sadly, it hasn't been drawn out of the tin yet. It's just gone into the tin.
Gone in, okay.
It's now eligible. It's a new bill. And it basically says that any animal product imported to New Zealand must meet New Zealand's welfare standards.
Yes.
So currently we have quite strict welfare standards around things like you can't put mother pigs into sow stalls, you're not allowed to farm eggs with battery cages in New Zealand, that's been prohibited. But technically people can import products that have been made
anywhere in the world.
Methods from overseas. So, for example, 60% of the pork in New Zealand is imported, and 90% of that comes from pigs that have been raised in sow stalls.
Yes.
And so that sort of cruel farming is undercutting local farmers who are producing in a more humane way. And it's kind of a loophole, really, because we have an Animal Welfare Act, but it can be beaten by importing product that hasn't met those welfare standards, and that's what the bill does. It would close that loophole.
It's so much cheaper. It's so much cheaper than the New Zealand-raised stuff, and it really does damage the local industry here when we're trying to, you know, do better. It's really crazy.
It doesn't help animals' welfare, that's the main thing, but it would be better for not only animals but also fairer for local farmers if we close this loophole. And it sort of starts by just dealing with pigs and chickens in the first instance, but then it gives the minister the ability and the licence to deal with other imported animal products that might be produced in a cruel manner.
How do you fancy the chances of it getting drawn out of the tin?
Oh, you know, it's a luck of the draw. Some people don't get a thing drawn out of the tin for the whole term, and some get two drawn out in, you know, quick succession. It's a literal lottery out of 120 MPs.
Yes.
So the thing is, though, the notable thing, and what I will try and achieve, is that if we get 61 signatures of non-executive members of the House, then it automatically comes to the House. So it can actually be brought to the House in quick succession if Labor sign up to it and Te Pāti Māori. Obviously, the Greens are going to sign up to it, and then we just need another 6 or 7 members from the other side of the House. So I'm calling on the government side of the House to, you know, recognise that farmers think this is a good idea. It's better for animal welfare. That's its primary purpose, and they should support the bill to get it before the House so we can send it to select committee and make it law.
Excellent. Now, earlier this month, the Greens announced a Green Jobs Guarantee policy that it says would create more than 40,000 jobs. Can you tell us a bit about this, Steve?
Yeah, so this is a real sort of sea change in the attitude towards how we do industrial policy in this country. For most of New Zealand's, you know, existence, you know, since Te Tiriti o Waitangi from 1870s, we had a public works department, and that public works department built most of the infrastructure, you know, most of the roads, the dams, the railway lines, you know, telecommunications infrastructure was built through the public works. And we're putting in place a new Ministry of Green Works that will be tasked with building specifically planned infrastructure. So our first big announcement in Tokoroa a couple of weeks ago with Chloe Swarbrick and Tamitha Paul, who's from Tokoroa, was that we would fund the building of the Central North Island timber laminating processing facility that would enable us to build 35,000 new homes in New Zealand out of laminated timber from Central North Island pine forests. And that would lock in, you know, tens of thousands of jobs and also give us a certainty of how we're going to build houses, rather than the situation we have now where the government goes out to contracts to find private operators, commercial operators, who then bid on, you know, contracts to build public housing. So it's kind of a re-establishing a principle that a Ministry of Public Works is a good idea. It was got rid of in 1988 at the height of the neoliberal revolutions of the Douglas government. So, you know, what we've had since then is a lot of inefficiency and the amount of money that gets spent, public money that gets spent on building projects that require the builder of that project to get a big profit out of it. So it would be more efficient, allow us to plan our industrial infrastructure and, you know, mean public ownership of that industry.
Should this Ministry of Greenworks get established, could you explain how it would function day to day and how it differs from existing infrastructure agencies?
Yeah, basically it would be a public agency that you can do your industrial planning better. So obviously the major challenge the whole planet faces is how we transition off our dependency on fossil fuels. We can do a planned transition if we have a public works department where we can say, right, We also have a workforce training component to it, where we say, right, what the workforce we need for the next 30 to 50 years involves a bunch of electrical engineers, because we're going to electrify the energy system, or it needs us to, you know, utilize our food and fiber so that we can get up our dependency on plastic clothing. So, you know, we're going to support, you know, wool manufacturing domestically, or we're going to support, in this instance, you know, use of our incredible Central North Island timber resources. So we're not just exporting logs as whole logs, we're actually building houses, laminated timber houses out of them. And it sort of involves an element of state level planning for how we move our society in the direction we want it to go. And that's how, from, you know, most of New Zealand's history, and indeed most of New Zealand, you know, history in the last, you know, 150 years, that's how we've dealt with the challenge of infrastructure. And it has been exceedingly effective. And to this day, the reason we have, you know, a large renewable electricity grid is because from the 30s through to the, you know, 80s, the Public Works Department built hydro dams, you know, and the grid itself. So it's just a very effective way of ensuring the trajectory of the country is one that's kind of got a logic to it and is consistent.
Now, critics may argue that this is an expensive proposal during tough economic times. How do you respond to concerns about the cost and feasibility of funding such a large-scale program?
I mean, I think it has the opposite effect, actually. It becomes a lot more efficient and a lot less expensive over time. Sure, setting it up will cost money at the outset, but it puts us in a position where we can be much more efficient in our cost of infrastructure, because we're not having a private profit-making entity clipping the ticket as part of the cost of building anything, because it's public works and it's for public good. That's the logic behind it, and I think ultimately it ends up being a lot cheaper for the country.
Excellent. All right, was there anything else, Steve? We sort of had some shifting topics in the mix this morning. I'm just wondering if we hit all of them.
Yeah, no, that's great. I mean, we've got another big green budget announcement today, this morning, so you'll hear more from the Greens on our strategies around what we would do when in government.
All right. Hey, Steve Abel, thank you so much for this morning. We'll look forward to catching up with you in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
Cheers,
take care.
Bye.
That was What's Up with Steve Abel from the Green Party.